This is a podcast with a group of creatives who came together from all different places and stages in life to create, share, and document their experiences in and out of the booth and beyond the camera. Together, they've found new paths to follow as voiceover and on-camera actors. Through shared experiences, friendships, and adventures, they share it all with you from the very beginning. Oh, and of course, a little bit of chaos. This is the new Keeping Up With Chaos from the Booth and Beyond podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Keeping Up With Chaos from the Booth and Beyond. Angela, Lloyd, myself, we're all here today. Gabby's off traveling the world. And our special guest, Brad Hyland, or should I say Santa, ho, 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 is here.
Yeah, Brad considers himself reborn on April 1st, 2016, because that was the day he returned to voiceover as a full-time voiceover actor.
Brad works from his home studio near Washington, D.C., serving customers all over the world. He can tackle any assignment with his versatile voice. The core of his business includes commercial, corporate, film narration, explainers, voice messaging, mentoring, and coaching as well.
So just like I said, ho, 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 some of his favorite work includes being the voice of Santa for The Elf on the Shelf, voice of Charlie the Tuna for Starkus, and narrating national parks like the Crazy Horse Monument in South Dakota. So we get to hear all about this.
That's right. So sit back, listen up, and make sure to share us, because when you share us, we all organically grow.
Now, on to the conversation. Thanks, guys. Cheers. There we go. We have it.
Sorry. How's it going?
Houston, we are ready to launch.
Yeah. My nephew's here, so I had to put him to sleep. So he's sleeping. I got him to bed right before the meeting. I was like, okay, good.
Everybody be quiet. The baby's sleeping.
Yeah, he should be fine. He's been out for a good 20 minutes, so he should be in deep sleep now.
Perfect. Awesome. I'm so glad that you're here, obviously. Lloyd's coming tonight, too. Gabby's not going to be here, so.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay. It's okay. We'll make it work. Yeah. So I have some exciting news.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do you want me to share it with you?
Or should we wait?
Are you tired of like hearing you?
No, I love my news. Wins. I love good news. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get, I just want to share. I'll share my chaos in a second because Brad's going to be here. Brad Hyland's here.
Nice.
Very so nice. Excited.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Have you ever had the pleasure to meet with him?
I have
meet
not.
Him or work with him? No. Okay.
No, this will be my first time. So I'm very excited.
Yeah. He is like this big teddy bear. You know what I'm saying? And he just wears his heart on his sleeve. And he's so good at what he does, working with, you know, being a mentor, a coach, and then just a voice actor and just really stepping into his journey. So I'm excited to hear more about that. And like, you know, obviously, like what you always say is the origin story, right? That's what we're kind of all about.
Yes.
Just to hear where everybody else is coming from and like how they got there. I think that's interesting. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Everybody has a different, you know, origin story and what got them to take that next step. That's I think what people need to hear is like, okay, well, this person kind of had my same story. So if they could do it, I could do it kind of deal.
Right. So I booked another commercial on camera. I don't know if I can actually say the brand, but it's a car brand.
Ooh.
And it was really exciting because I had no idea. I knew it was a car brand, but I had no idea. Like, I knew I was showing up at like a track. That's all I can say. But I didn't really know what was going on. And they were really secretive about stuff. And it was supposed to be in Miami, but it ended up being in West Palm. So the cool thing is that I ended up going the night before and spent some time with my aunt who lives on the East Coast of Florida. Yeah, it was great. We got a chance to like, you know, visit for a couple of hours and I spent the night and it was great. And so I had to be blindfolded. And I remember I had my first on-camera director callback and he was like, do you like adventure? And I'm like, hey, Brad, we're talking about my adventure. And I said,
I'd love to hear about it. Let's go.
I said, I do like adventure most of the time. I guess it depends on the adventure that we're talking about. But it ended up being blindfold. I had to be blindfolded and I had to be in the care of another human being for a period of time before they unveiled the car.
What was going on?
What was going on? Yeah. I booked a on-camera commercial for a car company. So that was really exciting.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
yeah.
And if you told me what the car was, you'd have to kill me, right?
Exactly. And I don't want to kill you. I kind of like you. So
same here.
Yeah. Angela, Brad, Angela.
Nice to meet you, Brad.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
So we kind of like share a little bit of chaos and then we'll kind of dive into things. I wanted to share with you, I had my first bite on Voiceover Planet that happened today. Ooh. So I'm really excited. The client reached out to me, a little bit of chaos though, because when they reached, right? Big wins. When they reached out to me, they reached out to me through Voiceover Planet's platform, even though I always include my email and my, you know, website and everything, because that's a platform that encourages you to connect with your clients directly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
After they provide the opportunity for you. And the email was wrong. So every time I kept, you know, sending an email back to them because they wanted a second sample, which is, you know, pretty typical. They were like, can you give us another sample? We want it this way, a little light direction. And so of course, Angela, we talk about this all the time. I listened back to my audition I sent them and I was like, oh yeah.
Okay. I get it.
So I was happy to have the second opportunity. And so I ended up having to email Voiceover Planet to have them assist me because I couldn't, it kept coming back mailer daemon or like, you know, return back to sender. It wasn't going through.
Right.
It wasn't the proper email. So mess avoided. I got the right email, got a hold of the client. You could tell the client was super nice via email. I asked if we should do a Zoom call. And he's going to get back to me Monday. So fingers crossed. So.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I said, did you go with step 10 of the magic list?
I did. I did say they wanted light. They wanted to give me some light direction and have a second sample. And they had mentioned that they really liked my automotive samples on my website. So I was interested to hear, hey,
very good.
Which ones did you like? And so he told me which ones he liked, but it was kind of funny because it was like, well, I really like this one, but it was kind of slow in pace, but I like the tone. But this one, I like the pace, but it's too smiley. So I just split the difference, you know, like, hopefully.
That's why I love to get them on a Zoom because you can really dial into what your next read needs to sound like, you know, and then you really cut to it fast.
Yes. So I want to tell you guys a fun story about how I found my Brad.
Let's hear
how
it.
I found Brad.
Me or your Brad?
No, you.
Okay.
You are, you know, my Brad. So
I am your Brad.
I might have to share you with some people, but that's okay. So I went to VoiceOver Atlanta, and I know you just got back from VoiceOver Atlanta a year ago, and I won the very first giveaway in the closing credits of the whole weekend. And was the super awkward person standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down, not really knowing where to go. I don't think anyone really knew where to go. You know, at that point in time, we were kind of figuring it out as we went. And I won a LIBO gift certificate. And I think that's how you say it. It's LIBO. And one of the offerings was your offering about how to, you know, if you're frustrated with pay to plays, let me help you out. And I don't remember the whole thing. And I was like, I am so frustrated. And so I took your class and then the rest is history. So,
yay.
Yeah. So I want to hear, Angela and I always like to hear, well, Lloyd hopefully will be joining us too. We like to hear your origin story because I feel like we're sitting with royalty here. I mean, Santa could be here. Charlie. Good.
Yeah, Charlie. You mean like
voiceover royalty?
The fast version of where I got to where I am now?
I mean, wherever you want to start, your inception, you know, like I think you had mentioned life started at 2016, right?
Yes, but I wanted to be voiceover before I even knew what voiceover was because of things like my favorite show was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at Christmas time. And when I was really little, I remember, Mom, when is that show coming on? Usually we have a turkey and then that show comes on.
Right.
And it plays over and over again every week. Well, I love doing those voices. And even now I do all those voices still. And, you know, I'm not, the sound isn't as good as it used to be when I was younger, but that was that. And so fast forward school and college, and my friend said, oh, you should, you know, you love to sing and you've got a great voice. Everyone's got a great voice.
Yeah.
You should do voiceover. It's like, oh, what's voiceover? Because I really hadn't connected the dots. This is a long ass time ago.
Yeah.
And like back probably when you were in, I don't know how old y'all are, but this was a long time ago. And
we age well.
Yeah, definitely.
Moi aussi. that's French for me too, in case you missed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I trained hard for a couple of years, and I started getting my demos together. This is before computers and home studios and laptops and the internet and everything. So and I was convinced, and then work just got harder and harder. My regular career as a landscape contractor guy.
Keep going. And, he'll just jump in. No big deal.
So I fast forward to 2015. My wife Kathy knew this is what I should do. And so she stopped her bike on a bicycle ride. I'll never forget where we were. And I was just running my pie hole about voiceover. And she said, she just stopped the bike and she says, you're quitting. You're just going to quit. You're quitting. And I said, okay. And so because I'd been with this company for so long, all my friends were like my family. And the company actually the family had sold, and it become a big money thing with, you know, venture capitalist kind of people. And it wasn't my company. It was the Brickman company, Brickman right. Group. And so I let them know, and I quit. I gave my notice and I quit in October of 2015, September. And I started full time in 2016 after wow. I healed my soul over the winter time. And I've just been kicking indoors since then, and just having more fun than a human being should be allowed to have.
Yeah, and getting paid to do it.
Right.
That's like key.
Yes. Yes.
Pretty dope.
Yeah. Keep going. Keep going. We want more.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, so I back then I had been in charge of people from a marketing standpoint. You know, you have to sell, sell, sell. And I hate being marketed to, you know, mm-hmm. I still hate when somebody markets to me, the hair on the back of my neck stands up. Even if it's a simple email, I'm like, dude, did you do any research? I'm a sole proprietor. I'm a voice actor. Don't sell me phone systems, for Christ's sake.
Right.
So I got onto casting sites, and I knew I would be good. And I started booking right away, and, you know, fast forward another few years, and I started helping people just for fun, because people needed help. And they were saying, hey, what are you doing? How are you making it? Why is it working for you and not for me? And I just started writing down these little things that I kept saying over and over and over again to people. You know them well, right?
Yes, I do.
I monetized the coaching thing. I still don't have a coaching website. I love to do it, and I make time for it every week, but I don't want to be an 8-hour a day coach. I want to coach 3 or 4 times a week or more sometimes, and then fill in with all the great voiceover customers I have all over the world that keep coming back to me. And it's almost embarrassingly fun to wake up every day, not at 5 a.m. to shower and shave and put on nice clothes to go into an office, but wake up when I feel like waking up, which is anytime between, you know, 6:30 and 7:30. And then just grab coffee and green juice and sit in the hot tub and warm up, and then come in and be Santa Claus if I get it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm the voice of this little guy inside. So
very cool.
If I don't know if you can hear it. Can you hear it through the Zoom? I don't know if you can.
I don't know if he's. No, he won't. Yeah, that's awesome.
Call me and I'll play it for you.
And of course, we watched it with our kids. So
Oh, good. For sure.
Oh, yeah. It's classics. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a mom who loves Christmas.
Yeah. We'll talk later. And just mixing in really, really fun stuff, like, you know, you talked about the voice of Charlie Tuna for Starkist, and it's funny today when people are saying, "Oh, where have I heard you?" You know, when you say I'm a voice actor, "Oh, have I ever heard you?" I'm like, I don't know. Did you hear the erectile dysfunction commercial last night?
Got to pay the bills.
And if I say, oh, I'm kind of the new voice of Charlie Tuna for Starkist, they go, oh, that's cool. And I go, you don't know who Charlie Tuna is, do you? And they're like, so. And I'm not. If you're younger, you don't know. You know, you just don't know.
I know.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
So you're not young. Okay.
Oh, I mean,
I thought you were like 20. Okay.
I'm like a fine wine. Just kidding. No, I'm kidding.
So that's the fast story.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So, like, rewind a little bit. Like, how did you become Santa? Right? Like, how did that, unpack that for us? Because, there's these dream jobs that I think we all have when you get into voiceover, where you're kind of like, I want to, be barista number 5 and then jump into, some big video game character or land like a big character on a TV commercial. Let's talk a little bit about Santa and Charlie.
Well, I have some good agents, and my agent in Atlanta, they gave me a quick call and said, hey, this is on the phone. Usually, oh, Atlanta? Okay. It's like, oh, yeah, hi, what's going on? Did I book something? No. You sing, right? And I said, yeah, I sing. Okay, I'm going to put you in for this job. I said, cool. And it was to the Lumistella company for a new Santa for Elf on the Shelf for their movies and all their stuff.
Right. So
cool. And I had several callbacks that are exciting, and then you mean I'm not hired yet? And then I had a call with, I'll never forget this, either Shanda Bell, who is the person who she's the, like the CEO or something of Lumistella, and her right hand person, Amy, who they're both just lovely people, part of my life now. And it was another callback, and I was on a Zoom with them, and I was thinking, oh wow, I'm right here. And they said, we're just making a few final phone calls, and we're trying to get the person to get the laugh right that we want. And Shanda, who wrote the book with her mom, had a laugh in her mind that she wanted Santa to have, a tone and a cadence of the laugh. And she says, most people are going, ho, 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 like the Santa on Christmas Story, with pushing the kid down the slide. And I said, well, tell me what your Santa sounds like in your brain. She goes, oh, you want me to laugh like him? I said, yeah. And she went, ho, 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 ho. And I said, okay, so you want me to have a Santa laugh like that? Ho, ho. Like, she goes, yeah. And I went, ho, 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 ho. Wild, and they both went crazy. Like, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I said, cool. So I got the job. And they went, no. No, no, we have a few more phone calls to make. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So the next day, Kathy and I, since before electricity, we've been married a really long time, 42 years.
Congrats.
Oh,
thanks. So when you're married that long, going food shopping is a date. So we were going food shopping.
Yes.
And this is before I was booking a ton of stuff, right? I'm still just carving my way. And I'm on my phone more than I ever have before. And she's kind of like, you're on your phone again? Come on.
Yeah.
We're on the chip section.
She knows every time I get an email or a text or a phone call, it could be something really sweet. So she's okay with it now.
Yeah.
And we were in the seafood aisle, and there was, there's those big frozen cases. She was on one side and I was on the other, and we were both kind of looking, and we love crab legs, real Alaskan king crab, not the snow crab.
Yeah.
And they had just gotten a big order in, and this is, back then it was like $35 a pound. Now it's like $60 a pound or something.
Yeah. Everything's really expensive now.
And we were looking at them. Oh, crab legs, man. I love some crab legs tonight. We're looking like this, and oh, it's so expensive. I got a phone call, and I grabbed my phone, and she's like, no, we're shopping. I said, It's Atlanta. I don't know who it is. It looks like my eight. Anyway, just a minute. Hello. Oh. Wow. Okay. Hold on just a second. Buy the crab legs.
We're having crab tonight. All right.
Santa's here.
So that's my Santa story.
I love that.
So can I ask you your the timeline of things? Okay, so you quit your job. How long did it take between quitting your job to getting on the play sites to getting an agent?
That's a good question.
I quit in the fall. I started full time late in the March, April. Got right on voices.com and Voice Realm and
all of them.
And I booked very quickly. into mm-hmm. in my first couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
I remember my first job I booked on voices.com was, it's still on my website. If you go to my website and scroll down and you see the LaCroix sparkling water.
Oh, wow.
Spot.
Yeah.
And I, it was, the line was LaCroix sparkling water, mildly refreshing. And that's what I did, those five words. And I got like, I don't know, $300 for a paid placement. It's probably about a tenth of what it should have been.
Yeah.
Right.
Then I went running downstairs. Kath, I booked a job. LaCroix sparkling water. This is what I said. LaCroix sparkling water. Mildly refreshing. So I think it was about 6 months after I started booking that I got my first agent. And
oh wow.
The you know, it was right for me because I had been living this life for so long, and I was trained way long ago, so it's not like I was just starting out, and I was completely 100% convinced of how great I was going to be, you know, whether or not I'm great. It's just, that's what I thought.
Right.
And I had a referral. Somebody gave me a referral to an agent in LA, and they took me on, and that was my first agent.
Wow.
And since then, every other agent I've gotten has been either me connecting nicely with them and sharing and going back and sharing again, or referrals from people that I know and love that are with that agency.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So were you weren't actively seeking an agent. Somebody just referred you at that point?
Or were you
kind of on the search?
No, I was kind of like, I was new, and when you're new in voiceover, everybody's like, oh, I got to get an agent. I have to have an agent.
Right.
Everybody's got an agent except me. I don't have an agent. And it becomes this big life suck because you don't have an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's not necessary, because when you're good and you're a proven entity,
mm-hmm.
and you find an agent who needs something that you have, it's not a like winning the lottery. It's just a nice progression that mm-hmm. you sort of steer into place for yourself,
mm-hmm.
because you have not every agency is going to want you, because they there's a couple other big agencies that wanted, you know, I started talking to, and they said, you're great. Yeah, let's do this. And then they have 9 or 10 or 50 other guys just sound just like me. So
mm-hmm.
they don't need that at that time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. We've talked about that before, about agents being like a spoke in your wheel, a piece of your pie. You know, it's nice to have, but it's not like the end all be all.
Yeah,
and it takes time to find, you know, and connecting with different people.
And there are some really successful people in this business who aren't on casting sites, and they don't market because they've got 3 or 4 major giant agents, and they're scoring really nice big jobs. So if you looked at their pie chart of revenue, you know, 70% is what their agents get them. For me, mine is 10 to 15% of agents stuff.
Yeah.
And the rest is through marketing and through mostly casting sites and return customers. That's the key.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it so interesting. Like, I need to rewind a little bit, because you did stand up comedy. Like, I think we just like glazed right over like a big chunk of life.
I was extra work
because, you know, I'm kind of, obviously I'm in the on camera stuff and doing extra work. And
I showed you my pictures from the movie, right?
No, you didn't.
I never showed you.
I don't think so. No,
I was an extra in The Replacements. If you ever saw that movie,
oh, okay.
The football movie.
Yeah,
you have.
Yeah,
you promised
a while ago.
Yes.
I'll show you one. I'm going to hold up one picture. I think I have in here.
If Zoom will let you show us, but yeah,
I'm just going to hold it up on my phone.
I remember that movie. It's been a long time though since I've watched it.
Oh, look at that. Wow. All geared up and everything.
That's Shane Falco. And he was all pissed because I said, hey, can I take your picture? And he's like, oh. No.
That's neat.
But I was a sideline football player in that movie. I don't know if you can see that.
There he is.
We filmed for a couple of weeks and had a good time. But I did stand up. I still do once in a while dabble in stand up when somebody asks me or if there's something fun to do. And I was the front man in a blues and rock band for 8 years. That was quit in 2011.
Wow.
So I loved
pretty cool.
I loved performing.
How did you get into stand up? And then, yeah, that's always like an interesting.
I was actually, it's funny too. I was always funny in school doing imitations of teachers and just being a knucklehead in college, same thing. And I remember this was, I think, like 1985. My Kathy's always like, you got to do stand up. I dare you. And I remember I wanted to buy something that we couldn't afford back then. And I don't know what it was, like a little home gym or something, you know, like a set of dumbbells, something silly, like a set of weights. And I had just floated it to her. She goes, wow, that's a lot of money. It's $400. Yeah. And then she said, why don't you do, she saw some ad for open mic nights at the Comedy Stop in DC. And she said, you should do it. Go to the open mic night. She said, we'll buy those weights if you do it. And I was like, oh, really? You'll sign off on that with me? Because we own everything together. I don't buy stuff. We've always been, all our finances are together and we're just like one person financially.
That's
and
cool.
I said, okay, I'm doing it. And I did it. And it was really cool and fun. So I've been dabbling in it ever since.
And you got your weights.
I did.
I was going to say, I love how your wife kind of like pushes you into
the
zone.
Me.
Like not out of your comfort zone. She pushes you into your zone.
She pushes me in. And she's the one, she's always been the one who has dropped an idea. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I could never do that. Or no, I don't want to do that. And she keeps, and then it, you know, she's like, see, you can't.
So, told you so.
Yeah, she's been the best thing ever in the whole world.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah,
I think that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. That makes a difference. I always call him my man babe, but he's always like my husband. We've been married for 20 years come April. We've been together for 22. And it's like,
oh, good for you.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, once you find your person, you know, you're better off together than separate, you know, for the most part. You know, life is tough, but
for the most part.
For the most part, you know.
He won't be hearing this, so don't worry.
Oh, he knows. And
am I the only one drinking
coffee,
by the way?
Yes, I poured myself a little.
Not coffee.
Not coffee. I'm double fisting.
Coffee doesn't sound like the.
It's like my cup. Look at that. This is my gorgeous. Nana's. Isn't it gorgeous?
This is my this is my official Mevo mug I bought at Mevo.
That's cool. It's on my list. It's on my list of conferences.
Thanks, Val.
I forgot what I was saying. Oh, anyways, he's super supportive. He's always out. Like whenever he's at work, and you know. Doing his thing. Anytime he finds an opportunity to talk to someone, he always is like, oh yeah, my wife's in voiceover, and shows my card and, you know, pulls up my samples and lets them hear it, you know, and tries to connect me. And so, you know, a couple of things I, you know, reached out to them and we're connected. And a couple of times, you know, it was like organic marketing, right?
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how spouses, partners always want to be talking about what you do?
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to, when I go to a party or something, I'm not walking into a party going, I'm a voice actor. Hey,
I'm Santa.
You know, I'm a voice actor. I'm the voice of Charlie Tuna. You know, whatever. And whenever somebody finds out that it comes around if you're having a nice conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a voice actor. I used to be, you're a voice actor?
Yeah.
My God, what have I ever heard? What have I heard you in? That's when I do the. Oh, did you hear that ED commercial? No. Okay. Kathy goes right to, do you know about Elf on the Shelf?
Yeah.
And it always gets one of two reactions. One is either, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Santa. And then I, you know, they're taking pictures and, or it's like Elf on the Shelf. I hate that fucking thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's either or.
Yeah.
There's two camps, love or hate.
Yeah. So she's used to that, but she's always ready to. Well, I'm the narrator for the Titanic exhibition that's touring the country.
Cool.
And it's funny. I have a virtual assistant, Miranda, and she was in New York. She's a city girl. She loves the Titanic. She didn't know I was the voice of that. She and her mom went to the exhibit, put on the things, and they're listening through. And Miranda stopped like 2 seconds after turning on. She says, take off your headset. And her mom said, why? She goes, oh my God, this is Brad. And she called me right away from the exhibit. Are you the voice of the Titanic exhibit? I said, yeah.
Am I working too hard or is this you?
Yeah.
So
that's a good point, Angela.
When we went to see the exhibit, when it came, it's down in the National Harbor in Maryland right now. And Kathy was just dying to find somebody to tell that I was the narrator. And we were waiting in the long line. And then there was this empty VIP line. And she walked right up to the front. And the guy, she goes, are you the manager? And he goes, no, I can get one. What's the matter? She goes, oh, no, I just wanted to tell you that my husband, Brad, is the narrator of this exhibit. So I thought maybe they'd like to know. And he was like, oh, my God. And they gave us VIP badges.
Rock on.
All right.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
She's my biggest fan.
Yes, totally. I would say so, for sure. That is like better than the paycheck coming in or the money dropping into your account. I mean, that's good too. But like that right there, that's like, you know,
that's the good stuff.
For the record, I would always rather have a big paycheck than somebody going, oh my God, you're the voice.
Yes.
You're the voice of the erectile dysfunction commercial. God.
We got a lot of that going down here in Florida. So
yeah.
all your customers are down here in Florida for the most part. That's pretty cool. I love that. You know, having a supportive spouse is pretty cool. And she's also like a creative, right? She's out there forging her way. You know, can we talk a little bit about that? Like how you guys are doing your thing, you know, which is important and kind of cool.
She's a retired school teacher principal, 30 years. And then she and my son, Brad Jr., are peas in a pod. And they both are just super into collecting and reselling on eBay. And my son has since started, he is now with a company called WhatsApp, which is an online auction thing. And he's got like the fastest growing followers there. He's got like 16,000 people and he does.
Oh, wow.
He does auctions four or five times a week. And he's just amazing. But Kathy has an eBay store. She buys stuff at Goodwill and auctions and yard sales. And she's so smart about this stuff. She now is like an expert in knives. I collect knives. She became an expert. Old knives, antique stuff. I collect automatic switchblades. And she does tobacchiana, which is pipes and everything to do with tobacco and lighters. And and she has a right over here in the next office over in our house is her studio where she has all her stuff, and she sends packages all over the world every day. It's really fun.
Wow, that's really neat.
We're working.
I love that. Like your home is like just a home of creatives. Like one room is a voiceover, one room is like her knives,
antiques.
antiques and stuff. Yeah.
The funny thing is, my mom was an art teacher for her whole life, and she loved teaching. She was a full time teacher, and she never took a salary. She just gave back to the church school system that she worked, because my dad was fell off. And I think she's probably pretty happy and proud of me right now, because I love teaching so much. I tell my teaching coach, voiceover coaching and mentoring stories all the time to Kathy, and she's like, your mom would be so proud of you.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
I do too. I love that too. And it's nice to hear that your mom, like your parents from that generation, were supportive of the arts, right? Because you hear time and time again, you know, I mean, sometimes parents aren't not as supportive, you know.
Truth be told though, my dad, he was a business guy, and when he was long retired when I quit and went to be a voice actor, and he was kind of like, voice acting. So you don't have your 6 weeks of vacation anymore, and you don't have a salary, and you don't have profit sharing, and you cashed out your golden handcuff money, and you don't have health care.
Yeah.
So why the hell did you do this? You know.
Right.
And then when I got before he died just shortly after his 95th birthday.
Oh,
wow.
And I was, you know, we would play him the Santa bits, like show him a couple of things. And he'd be like, that doesn't sound anything like you.
That's because the point.
This is how I talk. And if I'm doing Santa, this is Santa, you know.
Right.
It was pretty funny.
That's so cool.
When you started voiceover, was it more caricature driven, or were you open to doing like the sales stuff as far as like, you know, your commercials.
Yeah, the stuff that pays the bills sometimes.
I wasn't one of these people that said, I want to be in Hollywood. I want to be in Netflix and anime and blah, blah. That's not me at all. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to do something creative with my voice. And when I score something fun, like a character voice or a video game or something like that, that's really fun. Or a big TV commercial, big radio spot. I love that. But it's the day-to-day, non-broadcast corporate narration that
keeps you running.
Yeah. The lights are on.
Yes. And we have this beautiful life because of that stuff. It's
right,
man, you know, if you can bang out 2, 3, or 4 explainer videos at $500 or $600 a pop in a day, it's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I say, interestingly enough, I want to talk a little bit about that, like your coaching and mentoring and stuff like that, and your sort of like thought process on how to work smarter, not harder, if you want to touch on a little bit. And also like the fact that, you know, maybe you don't have to always just step up to the mic and be somebody else, right? Because that was what really I connected with you when I found your offerings on Livevo, you know? I mean, because I think all too often we all struggle with that. You know, they want real, authentic, you know, and real person. And a lot of times we all walk up and just kind of step up to the mic and we're like, la, 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 you know, and you're not yourself.
Yeah, you got $1,000 mic, you're in your studio, you got a chance to make $800 in 10 minutes and the pressure's on. And what I have found over and over and over again, just in my own work and what I help people with, is many people have, everybody's got a great voice. Everybody, every single person,
yes,
you know, some people have big booming voices and some voices are filled with character. But the key is you have to be able to completely be yourself, trust your microphone, trust your chain, trust your environment.
Yeah.
And just be natural and with the natural physicality. And that's what people want. And I tell my first lessons with people, they have to read through all my stuff with me live. And I tell them, you cannot try to be the sound that you think somebody else wants you to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody does. You know, it's like the guy on the Toyota commercial, all the Toyota commercials, Toyota, let's go places. And it's an affected voice, right?
Right.
But that's not what works for everybody. So if everything you try to do is like this, you're just being somebody else, not yourself.
Right. You still sound good, though. But you have to be yourself, though.
You have to be yourself. And excuse me. Then you can paint the rest of what you're doing with the directions, with the storytelling, and knowing who you're talking to and where you are and what's the emotion. And I always tell people, you don't tell the story, share the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And find someone to talk to, because that's the hardest part. You know, I find like when I'm connected to the copy and I feel like I'm talking to somebody, like as if I would be talking to you guys right now, mm-hmm. it sounds way better than when I go and do that audition like I sent and got a second chance at earlier. And I do think that I might have been a little congested, which is also a whole nother thing, you know, for us. And that definitely impacts our work. But so I'm happy to have a second chance. And it's interesting, though, too, that, you know, everyone always thinks that, like, you need to have this, like, big booming voice. And you don't. There's all different types of voices out there that are interesting. And even in character work, you don't have to have, like, 1,001 characters. There are some people that are very successful in character, and they're just using their own voice.
Their typical voice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some characters, like a dog, a commercial where the dog has a voice, the dog goes, hey, why are you doing that?
Right.
That's not what I like to eat. Yeah, that's what I want to eat. And it's just a voice.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of stuff is not heavy with added character. And it's anybody can do, really anyone can do a character voice. You just have to have an idea of where it's going to go and commit to it 100%. Yeah. And not, don't leave any money on the table for what the character is, you know?
Right. Go ahead, Angela. Sorry. Go ahead.
Speaking of that, if you're, you know, developing a character, for example, Charlie Tuna, like, how did you develop him in the sense?
They wanted
did they
a sound.
Specs,
they wanted,
did
well,
you...
So you don't know who Charlie Tuna is.
Do you know who he is?
I recognize him, yeah.
Okay.
But the voice in my head is not the one I'm thinking of.
No, well, Charlie Tuna from, you know, the 60s and 70s, you know, he was the little beatnik tuna that always he wanted Starkist to use him. And then the line would come down with a hook and it said, "Sorry, Charlie."
Yeah.
And he would go, "Hey, what's wrong with this tuna?" You know, it was like a beatnik New York cab driver kind of a sound.
Okay.
So, excuse me. They wanted, that's funny, the owner of the studio, John Roberts from Soundbite Studio in Atlanta, he's where, when they want me to record, you know, a big project, they'll bring me down to there, to that studio. And he's kind of a friend, and he knows what I'm capable of doing with soundalikes and character. So a friend of his said, "Hey, John, I need somebody to be a new Charlie Tuna voice. Who can you recommend?" And he goes, "Oh, I got the guy for you." And so I did a bunch of auditioning, you know, and a bunch of callbacks. And then they said, "Yeah, we're going to go with you." So,
okay.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
And what they're trying to do is revive that character.
Right.
It's not exactly the same because that guy's not here anymore. But it's, you know, hopefully it goes to broadcast. Right now it's just digital paid placement and stuff. But sure. If it goes to broadcast, then I'll be calling my agent. All right, I need some negotiation here.
Yeah.
Right.
But in that case, you already had something that you can build off of versus something from the ground up, you know, like, you know, did you have something to build off for Santa?
That's a great question. For Santa, I fashioned my Santa after the Santa on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I love that show, too. I watch that all the time. The claymation, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that was my favorite.
Yeah. And I have every year Kathy puts the we have little plushies of those things and we put them out in our living room and I'll go through and do all the voices for each one.
While you watch her decorate.
No, we decorate together.
And, okay, good.
She does most of the
decorating. They are one.
I put the high shit up, you know. but creating a character is a great thing. I'm not a character coach. Really, really, really special, good people for that. Like Dave Benoy and a number of other people. But for me, when somebody says, "Hey, we want this, here's a picture," I will experiment and come up with something original based on what that character inspires me to do.
Sure.
And sometimes it's how you hold your mouth or whatever. And if I'm creating a character, I want to make sure I have it. I'll videotape myself doing that voice. So as I progress, it's like, does he talk out this way? Does he have a little bit of an underbite? Does he talk out the side of his mouth? And that way you can sort of build those into them so it can be, because if you book a role on a big reoccurring thing, and it's a character thing, it has to be totally consistent the whole time through.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But I like to create. I have a customer in the Pacific Northwest for a big bank. They had a Sasquatch character for these spots they're doing and for internal videos. And it's just a guy wearing this giant Sasquatch outfit. And he said, "I want a character voice, but I don't want it to be, you know, like this. I don't want a big monster voice." He said something completely you wouldn't expect. So I did sort of a takeoff on the Geico Gecko.
Okay.
And this character, you know, it's like, "I wonder if I've been in this bank before." Yes, I have. I got a toaster in 1949, you know. And
that's perfect.
Completely
yeah.
different.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Yeah. And what I'm hearing too is that, like, you don't stop. Like, you just keep pushing and you keep putting yourself out there, whether it's marketing, auditioning, networking, connecting with people. Like you said, get on a Zoom call. If you've got someone that's like hot, you know, get on a Zoom call. And I want to talk about that because I think a lot of us, like, we always think, "Oh, I know auditioning is the job," but then we don't do it. It's like going to work out. You know, you got to go work out, but then you don't go to the gym, right? Like, you know, you got to audition. That's how you're going to get the job. That's part of it. That's like 95% of it. Whether you have an agent or pay to plays or direct marketing or whatever. Like, let's
you can direct market. You can direct market until the cows come home, but you still have to have a voice that people want to hear. And you still have to have an opportunity. And then in that opportunity, you have to book it. You might be part of 18 people that get that role, that chance. So I tell people you have to own marketing and you have to do that, but it's about at bats. You've got to get your voice out there many, many, many times and not throwing crap against the wall. It has to be, you have to be really well trained, confident, great sound system.
Right.
And that's why I tell people, don't buy a crappy mic and sit in a closet with an iPhone and a USB mic, you know, and get on voices.com. That's not the way to do it.
Right.
Get training and get confident and get good.
Yeah.
And when you, and you know, after you get demos, you can, the whole thing is like a, it's like a castle, block castle. You have to build it with the base or it just falls down.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
It's like a house of cards. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was, you know, on set with, you know, it's the same kind of thing. I was on set earlier this week and they said, oh, so what do you do? And and we've talked about this before. It's like, what do I do? Oh, that's right. I'm a voice actor, you know, and it's like hard to promote yourself. It's hard to talk about yourself when you don't have your wife or your spouse or your biggest fan with you. You know, you have to promote yourself. And I'm getting better at it. So I was like, I'm a voice actor, but I also do on camera. And then one of the guys is like, oh, you're a voice actor. Yeah, I want to get into that. I'm like, oh, it takes a while, you know?
Forget it.
I said,
don't do it.
Well, I said, as long as you're not sitting at your kitchen table with a blue Yeti, you know, like, no offense, but I mean, unless you're gaming or whatever like that. And he goes, oh, actually, that's what I'm doing. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah.
And I'm on Fiverr.
And and it's just like, there's a lot more to it. You know, like you're looking at the tip of the iceberg and there's just this, you know, you talked about the Titanic. There's like way more involved in being a voice actor, so much more. And like you said, you have to be well-trained, good equipment. And even then, you know, like this one potential client came to me and they're like, can you fix your microphone? Can you, and it was really me just being congested, but you know, I have a nice microphone, but like making sure your space is treated well. And, you know, it's part of the other conversation was when I was on set, when one of the girls is like, it's about perspective. You talked about there might be 18 other people in line for the same part that you're being set aside for or shortlisted or being considered. She's like, look at us. We're 12 people. We all made it. Do you know how many people, like, what time did you get your call back? Oh, I was called at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it was, everybody gave their callback times with the director. And I'm like 8 o'clock at night. She's like, do you know how many people they went through when they called you back every 10 minutes since 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night and probably later? And we're the remaining 12. And here we are. So we all need to be, you know, diligent and humble, and then also like grateful that we get to do this and we get paid to do this. And and I think we were all in that pocket, but like, I think we all sometimes lose sight about that. Like, you know, there's other people on the other side of the fence that they're picking us and we have to, you know, put our best foot forward. But at the same time, they're probably going through thousands, you know?
Right. And there's tens of thousands of people who all want to be you.
Yeah.
You know, they all want to be the one that got picked.
And
that's why when I'm coaching people, if somebody wants to coach with me, they have to get on a Zoom with me.
Yes.
And I'll spend 20 or 30 minutes on a Zoom getting to know somebody, because whether or not I train with them now, I probably could later. And I want it to be a positive experience. So in that Zoom, I'm able to figure out where they are and what they've committed to and what they've learned. And I'm not the guy, you know, and my mom says I have a good voice and I need a job. Will you train me?
Yeah,
I can sign up for 10 lessons. I won't accept their money, because there's so much that you can do on your own to be ready to be coached properly. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I get that. And I appreciate
pay for those
that
10 and not even commit to it after.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, what's next? I need to know what's next. I have no clue. I'm like, did you watch YouTube videos? Because you could literally sit at a table and watch YouTube videos for 2 weeks about voiceover, how to build a home studio, best microphones, best training. And then
you could listen to podcasts.
For the Brain. Gravy for the Brain is probably the best single resource for somebody starting out, because it's like a virtual gigantic library that you go from top to bottom for like 30 something bucks a month, and you can learn everything.
Totally. I think it's exciting that I think it's exciting that you're here to like kind of share your story, because it gives everybody an opportunity to understand that sometimes like you might have, I don't know, a dream in your mind, and that like it might not happen earlier on, but like later in life you can embrace it when, and it's all about timing, right? You can meet the right person at the wrong time or the wrong person at the right time. And I had the same sort of like connection to your story, because back when I was 15, 16 years old, my best friend's dad was in the Detroit Rock City. He was a voiceover person for all the automotive companies. And he told me about voiceover, you know, and he said, oh, you have a good voice. You should find some character voices. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm 16, you know, like, and, you know, and then fast forward my whole story, and then voiceover came back into my world. And it's like, it was like a whole thing. I'll tell you guys the story later, but, cause it's all about Brad. But I, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like it, but the conversation I want to lead us down is the fact that like I am too, in, you know, at a certain stage in my life, and voiceover found its way back into my world. And everybody here has had voiceover pop into their lives at a certain pivotal moment. Is there anything or anyone that helped besides your wife? And maybe it was your wife. That changed this trajectory. You know what I'm saying? Because
I think everyone is going to have people in their lives that will change your trajectory. And it's people that love you and that you love and trust that will support your dreams and, you know, keep you fired up to do what you want to do. Because the whole world is filled with people that'll tell you that you're crazy and that nobody can do it, and a few people, and blah blah blah. And voiceover is really difficult. It's soup. I mean, if you said pick something that could cost almost nothing, you can get an iPhone and a crappy mic and sit in a closet and go on to voices.com and, you know, audition 100 times and you might book a job. But turning that into a legitimate livelihood with returning customers is a far stretch. And that's why the world is filled with almost voice actors or people that have been trying for years. And they're still not booking a lot of work, but man, they have been trained and trained and they know everything there is, but they're still not booking a lot of work. It's a very, very subjective and individual thing. And you have to have really thick skin and really good friends to help keep you motivated and keep you steered in the right direction. I would say for me, other than Kathy, I have my best friend, Matt. He's been my best friend since, you know, sophomore or junior year in high school.
Oh, wow.
And he lives in Pennsylvania. And he was the kind of guy who always, he always knew I could do it and was a very, very encouraging for me. And still to this day, when we visit, he's like, I always knew you could do it. And look at you now, you know? But I, one of the, other than my, you know, my first producer, John Burr, he is in Florida. He's, I think, 85 or 86. He's still producing demos. And he wrote a book that I have here that he talks about me in the book. And I'm like on the, what do you call the front cover when you're talking about the book? He was very encouraging. And when I trained with him, he goes, oh, dude, you have this. You'll be very successful. I know you will. And almost every year when we talk on the phone, he's like, I know you could do it. I knew you could do it. And he's very proud of me. And I'm very grateful for the way he pointed me back 35 years ago. And then the other one more recently is J. Michael Collins. When I met with him and when he redid all my demos in 2016, he's just the kind of guy who never has steered me wrong. And to this day, he's never given me a job. You know, he's hired me to train for his conferences and stuff, but he's never, hey, Brad, I got a $4,000 voiceover for you to do. Never.
Right.
Everything I've gotten on my own. But he's just been, he's very well known in the industry, and he runs a really quality-driven demo company. Yeah. And he's just, if I have a question about something, he's the guy, no matter what time of day, I can hit up on Messenger and I go, hey, somebody said this to me and they offered me this and I don't know if it's a good idea. He'll either go, yeah, I work for them, it's fine. Or he'll go, that's garbage. Don't do it.
Yeah.
So you have to have a mentor or two or three in your life that will always steer you right and never lie to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And make sure they've got your back and you can ask them as many questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always sometimes feel like I'm, I don't know, asking too many questions, you know, but we've talked about this before, like, you know, scams and getting burned and, you know, so it's good to have people in your corner. And it's like such a big community, but it's also very, very small. And wherever you start out, it's good to branch out a little bit and, you know, find different people from different corners and different places and make sure you hang on to those people as you move through your journey, because they're the ones that are going to help like support you. So I 100% agree. You said something that's interesting that I don't want to forget. You said 100 auditions. I think like we didn't answer that question. Like, what's your stance on like auditions? You know, I mean, like, some people are always, they're always like, oh, I don't have time or, you know.
Well, you have to love auditioning. And you all know who Karin Guilfoy is, right?
Yeah, you got to do the audition.
She's a queen, you know, and every time I get a chance to see her, it's just like, oh my gosh, she's so good and so full of sunshine about the business and so willing to share. We have very similar opinions about auditioning and about, you know, using casting sites. And she said to me one time, and I'm quoting her, because she was like, yeah, right. I know. I love to do it. I love to audition. And she said, Brad, auditioning is my conditioning.
Oh.
And booking the job is my game. So everyone has to, you know, a pro athlete, they have coaches all over them all day long. Tiger Woods, pro golf, all the pro golfers, they have their coach with them traveling to every event. Mm-hmm. And they're with them. They're at their side all the time. So as soon as they get off the course, they go putt and they work on their strokes
Makes sense. They have to keep working on, you have to keep training and keep working on your game, even when you're at the top of your game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think too, when you find like you're launching or your home base where you started, it's okay to branch out, you know, and find other coaches, you know, and if something, try them all. And then if someone sticks, then they work. And that's awesome.
I would say if you're ever looking for a coach, say, hey, I would like to do a free consult with you. If they don't offer it, say, I heard people like Brad Hyland and J. Michael Collins and other people will do a free consult just so we can get to know each other a little. If they say, no, if you want to work with me, hire me. That's crap. Just go somewhere else. Everyone that wants to coach with me, I do a consult with, and I offer them, you know, little bits of advice and mentorship stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's a match, then we'll do it. Yeah. What I was going to finish in saying is I have an audition tracker that I shared with you.
Yes.
Jaws. And that's when I'm auditioning and I'm not booking, I don't have jobs booked for the day and I'm not teaching anybody. My goal is to do between 20 and 30 auditions in a day.
Wow.
And when you have a number of really good agents and a few good casting sites and your own marketing, you can always find a way to get that many good auditions out in a day.
Right.
And it's you have to be good at it, not take too much time, and then like this. Okay, next. Because that's what it takes.
Right.
And I tell people all the time, every job that I audition for, I'm 100% convinced I'm booking. It's never, oh man, I hope. It's like, I am so booking that job.
Yeah.
And then if I don't, there's only one reason. That I didn't book it.
They didn't have ears.
I like that one.
No, there's one reason. What do you think the reason is?
Someone else is better?
You weren't yourself.
You didn't sound like what they were looking for.
You weren't the voice. That you weren't the voice in their head.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even know what the voice is in their head. You
That's
know?
That's true, right. Yeah.
They just know when they hear it, it's like, when they that'll hear work.
Yeah.
So they're listening to 100 auditions.
Yeah.
For 3 to 5 to 8 seconds, you know? And they're going click gone because they didn't not because so when they listen to me for 8 seconds and they go, nope, gone. I'm not at home stewing and crying because I was a beautiful ribeye steak and they wanted salmon on a plank.
Right.
Or I was a BLT and they really just wanted a side salad, you know?
Right.
So it doesn't matter. That's why.
Yeah. You know? That's a good point. I actually, one of the voiceover gigs I booked after working with you, and I will be a testament that like I did book some national clients after working with you.
Yay.
And and I remember one of the gals, she was like, oh my God, I was up till like 3 o'clock in the morning. We went through a couple bottles of wine. I listened to hundreds of voices and we landed on you. And I was like, thank God, you know, like, thank God you drank all that wine and landed on me. But I mean, but she was like, oh, glad that's over, you know? Yeah. And she was just real candid about it. And she was also like, she was a breath of fresh air, just to say the least, but she was a little, you know, dynamic. So, but I mean, she was a great client to work with. And, but I mean, we sometimes forget that, like, you know, it's not, work might be the end of the line too, mm-hmm. like the last piece of the puzzle. And and to not be so hard on ourselves. And like you said, just sort of submit, forget, move on, and don't worry too much about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So Lloyd's going to ask the final question. I'm putting you on the spot because we're winding down. We're like almost there. Okay. Do you know the final question?
What happens if my screen freezes and I can't answer?
Hopefully that doesn't happen. He's frozen.
I mean, is it the same question? That's
yes. You can ask a different one if you don't like the final question.
Brad, of all the things you have done in your life, what is the one thing you're the most proud of?
Are you trying to get me to cry? Because back when I was 12, I don't know. There's so many that are like equal and even more worthy of being, you know, ultimately proud of, but
maybe work related.
I guess for me, it's following the dream that I had all those years ago.
Oh, I like that.
And putting it, I put that dream on the shelf, you know, 35, 38 years ago. And when the time was right for me and the moons and stars lined up and it was the right thing to do and I had the capability to do it and the wherewithal and the money and, you know, I'm proud of not letting that die.
Yes.
And
I love that.
And I'm every day, almost every day, I am just so grateful when I wake up in the morning, the sun's not quite up yet. I'm staring out my window into the woods back here in our big, beautiful new house. And I think I'm doing it. My mom used to say that. You're doing it, mister. And my friends that all know me, if I'm doing something or I post something that I voiced or something, my buddy Matt will go, "You're doing it, mister," or my friends from high school, because they knew my mom used to say that. And I'm proud to have stuck with that and have so many friends and people that I love look at me and go, "You are an inspiration to me."
Yeah.
Because you had this dream and you made it happen.
Yeah. And they're celebrating with you and for you. And they're excited about it genuinely. And those are the people you want to keep the closest to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why these guys are here. Awesome. And you. Okay. I have I'm going to pepper this question in real quick. You guys can pick one, two, or three. And then this is one, two, or three. And then we're going to round table it. Quick answer. No explanation. Or you could do a little explanation. I know I always... One, two, or three.
What have I gotten myself into?
Yeah, it's just a little. It's just a little.
I'm picking
fun
one,
question.
Two, or three.
Yeah, you pick choose, one, sir. One, two, or three.
Two.
Right in the middle. Okay. What is this? This is perfect. What is the strangest thing you've ever bought online? I am obsessed with Instagram right now with the organizational stuff. Like, I literally send links to my man babe, and I'm like, I need all of this. Like, you know, when they're opening up the drawers and then they're putting in on the sponges for underneath your sink. Like, I am like, if I had $1 million, my whole house would be organized, like with everything from Instagram. So that's my answer.
I'm a sucker for Instagram ads. And, you know, I have this. Don't you hate it when you're looking at Instagram and you're kind of going like this, or you're on your Instagram stories and you're going like this. Oh, interesting, interesting. And then you swipe slightly the wrong way and it takes you to that website.
Yes.
And then you're and then you're bombarded with
everything,
freaking ads for that specific thing for the next 3 weeks.
Yes.
So the question was, what's the weirdest or best thing?
What's the strangest thing that you've ever bought online that maybe you wouldn't? Well,
oh man.
Think about it, Angela and Lloyd.
Are we all answering this?
Yeah. Have you? Okay. I mean, I literally purchased that. I purchased that red blue light thing that's supposed to be like age defying, you know? And I pulled it out of the box. My husband's like, "You're gonna kill yourself with that. Put it. Just return it right now. Return it." I didn't get the serum, so that was like half the issue. I also was gonna buy this really cool travel bag that I was like, "Oh, this is so cool," and I didn't buy it. Yeah, like the one where you can like the hanging and then it rolls up and like and turns into a bag. Yeah.
Love that one. Yes, I love that one too.
There's so many cool things that I've bought that are really honestly cool. Somebody else answer.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I don't know if this is. I mean, it's probably strange to some people, but. I got one of those little, it's like for cleaning your ears, but it has a camera.
Oh yes.
And you connect it to your phone.
Yes. I've seen that. It looks so cool. It's like, I have an obsession with that kind of stuff.
Does it work well?
Yeah. It works really well. I've always, even ever since I was little, and this is, people get so pissed off when they hear this, but ever since I was little, like I was like, Q-tips suck and they do suck. And I was like, what do I do? So I, when I was like in the fifth grade, I started bending paper clips in half and using them as like little hooks.
Yeah. That. Okay.
That's ears.
Which makes people, I get it. It makes people uncomfortable.
Nobody do that.
But look, okay. I've never hurt myself doing it.
Okay.
But it's like a little, it's a little plastic, you know, it's got a little plastic like scoop on the end.
You should have a thing like, views expressed on this show are not the views of
the- We're going to hire you.
But it's great. You connect it to your phone and you can like see it when you're like.
Yes, I've watched the videos. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I know that two of the coolest things I've ever bought on.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
I collect automatic knives, switchblades.
Yes.
And you can buy them and get them sent to your house, and you can't go in the store in Maryland and buy a switchblade. They're illegal.
Interesting.
But I bought one for your car that has the glass smashing thing on the end.
Yes.
And it's a stiletto. You go, and it goes, sticks out the front, and it has a ballistic nylon sheath with, it's in the side of my truck, my Toyota.
That's awesome.
Truck.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. And I
useful tool.
And a couple of weeks ago, I saw something about how to, you know, reverse sear meats on your grill, you know, how people use a torch. And it's just, you screw it on top of one of those propane bottles. It looks like a freaking Lost in Space weapon. And you turn the gas on, you click the button, it's.
Wow.
How do you want to reverse your meat? Like, what's that? Like,
reverse sear. So when you cook a steak, you sear it on high and then you turn the heat down but this way you cook it nice and slow and low until it's the right temp. And then you take this torch and caramelize the outside of it.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
It's called Perfect Sear.
I think that my middle would love that because he's a foodie. I might have found like a stocking stuffer.
Nice.
What is it called? Perfect what?
Perfect Sear.
I like
that. As in searing meat. And it was like $40.
Yeah, that's good. Angela, do you have anything? No?
Nothing as cool as those two. But if I'm thinking about the weirdest thing I just bought recently. So during COVID, I got into crocheting my granny knitting. And, you know, it's become kind of a hobby of mine. So I'm making a couple blankets. I've made hoodies and beanies and all kinds of stuff for some of my friends. But I found these they are crochet rings. They're made for crocheting.
Oh,
but they
go have
on your
dinosaurs
fingers?
on them. Yeah, they have dinosaurs on them. They're
Oh,
really awesome.
oh my God.
But when I received them, my mom was like, "Why are you wearing dinosaur rings?" I'm like, "It's for my crochet.
Oh my God,
It's my crochet
Angela,
project."
your pre-grandma cool is coming
I
out.
know, it's totally coming out.
Well, if you get inspired and you find a whole shit ton of yarn somewhere, I'm a 3X for a sweater.
Got it.
Right?
Okay. And I say that. I was like, when the apocalypse comes, you guys are not going to be making fun of my granny ways. You're going to be wanting a sweater out of me. And I don't know if I'll be able to make it for you at this point.
I need a beanie because it's been cold down here.
Really?
I need a hat. Yes. I need a hat.
I mean, right now I'm in Colorado and we just had storm 2024. So I just dug out my car for an hour this morning.
Oh, you had like a whole lot of snow.
Oh, yeah. I had a ton of snow. So yeah, a beanie.
You can keep
Florida.
That stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. I mean, I grew up with it, so it's nothing crazy. But we haven't had a good storm like this in a while, so I think all of us were kind of happy to have it.
You
we
can
had 2 days
it.
Off. Yeah.
Snowmageddon.
We had 2 snow days off, so that's
oh,
great.
Oh, wow.
Chris. Yeah. The whole
that's
city,
awesome.
That they all shut down for real this time.
That's so. Awesome. Yeah, I'm good with the snow. I moved to Florida for a reason.
Yeah, after 35 years of managing big, large-scale commercial landscaping that included snow removal in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. When it snows now, I'm just like... because I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, right.
8.5 years in North Dakota was enough for me.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you should get a medal for that. I'll send you a... instead of a medal, I'll send you one of my stickers.
Okay, there you stickers. Go.
You just being you.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Brad, for coming and hanging on with us.
Yeah,
and we should do the thing. So if anybody wants to like connect with you, coach with you, mentor with you, or have a Zoom call with you, do you want to share how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, just email me, brad@americanvoicepower.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm usually pretty active responding to that kind of stuff. If it goes a full day or two and I haven't, just ping me on social media or something.
Yeah,
because I'm on my Instagram is @here, H-E-A-R, Brad Hyland, H-Y-L-A-N-D. So, yeah, if you follow me on Instagram, I'll follow you back.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank
really
you.
Fun.
Thanks.
Thank
you
it's
so
really,
much.
Really, really fun talking to y'all.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Keeping Up with Chaos from the Booth and Beyond. Be sure to check out the episode show notes to find all the important links and guest info from tonight's conversation. Catch all our episodes, social links, email, and more at keepingupwithchaos.net.